morning, Lord, and declare our absolute dependence on you, Father. God, we hunger after you this morning, God. We desire after you, Father. God, we are desperate after you, Father. We want more of you. We thank you for your sweet presence in this room, Lord. Lord, we just don't want to grieve you in any way this morning, God. Would you guide the service, Father? Any of you have a word, knowledge, or prophetic word, or anything, please come to the front. Forget about yourself. It's not about you. It's about encouraging, building the body here. Forget about your shyness or your insecurity. Take that bold step and come share. Because somebody needs to hear what God is telling you this morning to come share. Never learn to walk on the water unless you get out the boat.
Just got a short word, a very short word that just came into my spirit. And Dad is saying to you, do not entertain any thought of failure. I am your victory. In Jesus' name.
That's spot on. That's for somebody here that struggles with fear of failure. And I don't want to be disobedient. If you are bold enough, I'd like to pray for you, wherever you are. Ask us all to close our eyes, please. Don't focus on me. Focus on God. Come, if you struggle with failure, come. Let's pray. And I ask that whoever comes and stands behind him, cell group leaders, or I don't know how it works, yeah? Somebody big, strong. Father, we worship you. God, yes. Let's not touch him. You too. Obviously, you're married, yeah. Thank you, Father. Move those chairs away there, please. Father, I bind. Failure. We rebuke the spirit of failure. We rebuke it in Jesus' name. We rebuke it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God. We worship you, God. We magnify you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Take this offering. Throw it over. Thank you, Lord. We worship you. Thank you, Father. We come against failure, Father. We come against failure, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, you've not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. Raise up your hands, Son of God. Take up your place in the kingdom. Raise them up. Come on. It's a step of boldness. You can walk on water, says the Lord. I want to use you in signs and miracles, says the Lord. Do not fear, says God. Know your position in me, says God. Your identity is in me, the Most High God, says God. Do not fear, my son, says the Lord. I am with you. I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you, says the Lord. Father, I pray your fire, like you ought to be praying while I'm praying. Not to stare at me, please. Everybody close your eyes and pray. for the person, people in front. Thank you, Father. Yes, Lord. Fire, Lord. Fire, Lord. Boldness, Father. Fire and boldness in Jesus' name. Yes, God. We rebuke any insecurity, any fear, Father. We pray that you would touch him from on high, Lord. Lord, that you'd birth within him new power, new glory, new strength, Father, in Jesus' name, as you alone can, Father. That you'd raise up within him a new fountain, Lord, a new fountain of your power, your presence, your glory. Flood him from the top of his head to the soles of his feet, Lord, with your glory. Flood him, God. Flood him, Lord. Flood him, Lord, right here, right now, in Jesus' name. Thank you, God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Flood him, flood him, flood him. Flood him, flood him, flood him. Yes, God. Thank you, God. More fire. More fire. More security. More peace. More assurance, Father. More assurance, Lord. More steadfastness. Let your peace that surpasses all understanding flood his heart, Lord. Flood his mind. We rebuke all fear in Jesus' name. Lord, your sister, let us see yourself through your eyes, God. Let us see yourself through your eyes, God. Right here, right now, we raise up our hands, Father, to experience your fire and your glory right here. Your healing, your deliverance, God. Lord, I pray that the fountain within her will burst forth now. 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 Receive it. Receive it. Receive it. Now. Receive it. Now. More fire. More fire. Lord, I don't pray that you will only put her ankle deep, Lord, that you would submerge her. That you'd submerge her with your fire. Submerge her in your glory, God. Submerge her with your healing, your deliverance, your victory. Lord, that you will see herself through your eyes in Jesus' name. We rebuke the works of darkness. We bind the lies of Satan. We expose them for what they are. We speak deliverance and healing over her in Jesus Christ's name. In Jesus Christ's name. Be set free, daughter of the Most High God. Thank you, Father. More fire, more glory. More fire, Lord. I pray for a changed mind, Father. A renewed mind, God. I pray for submission to your word, God. And I wipe away the old ways, Father. I wipe away the old ways of fear of failure. I wipe away every perception that others have put on him, God. We remove from his soul in Jesus' name. His understanding of himself that comes from the enemy through other people, we wipe away. We wipe the slate clean in this man's life in Jesus' name. Close your eyes. Close your eyes. Thank you, Jesus. We take his thoughts captive to your obedience. We pull down every vain imagination that exalts itself up against the knowledge of Jesus Christ. We submit every thought, every feeling, every emotion to you in Jesus' name. We put a guard in front of his mouth. No foul language exit this mouth ever again. I declare in Jesus' name, you put a fiery coal, Lord, in Jesus' name. Father, that he would see himself through your eyes. A clean mind. Fire, God. Fire, Lord, I pray, I declare, Lord. I ask in Jesus' name that the next 2 weeks, this man will experience exuberant, abundant joy. More than he can ever have dreamt possible, God. Lord, that he'll walk on clouds. I pray that he'll have a visitation from you, Lord. Second to none in the next 2 weeks. Fire upon fire, glory upon glory. We invite you to flood this place, God. You are welcome here, God. Lord, I pray that you would show us the wow of who you are. The wow. And the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of your glory and grace. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father.
For your presence here, I want to thank you for touching your children, Lord. Thank you for deliverance. We want to thank you for healing. We want to thank you for the work hereafter, Lord, that you're going to do in each one of our lives. Lord, we want to leave this building never the same again. We have that expectancy, that faith in you, Lord, for a mighty work, Father, this morning. in our hearts, in our minds, in our bodies. In Jesus Christ's name. Thank you, Father. Amen. My name is Makadimi. Let me say a bit of something about myself. I wasn't born here. I was born in Lebanon, Beirut. I'm half Afrikaans, half Lebanese, but I'm not part of the Lebanese mafia. We're the Christian Lebanese, are there any Lebanese here? Okay, you know anybody that's Lebanese? Okay, we're not that other Lebanese. So I was born in Lebanon, and at the age of 5, my parents fled Lebanon because of war. I'm not going to say what year, but I don't mind. You can know my age. In 1975, we went to the Free State. My mother grew up there. And I went full-time into ministry in 1992. Was a missionary for many years. Met my wife, got married. Was in various countries of the world. Returned, became a pastor in Kempton Park with the Maranatha Community Church. After that, we pastored a church in Hopefield. We converted it into a shofar church. And then they asked us to help them out in Stellenbosch, where we are presently right now. So that's a bit about me. I have one wife, only one, and 2 kids, a 14-year-old boy and a 10-year-old girl. Last year, June, his head was here. Last year, October, his head was here. I have it on my cell phone. I kid you not. He grew 15 centimeters in 5 months. So he's daddy's little giant. I still see him as a little baby. Doesn't like that. They don't like that, eh, parents? But, I mean, how can we help it? They still are little boys and little girls. So, yeah. We stay in Kylemore. So we halfpot between Stellenbosch and you guys. This morning's message is perseverance. Have you heard testimonies of mothers whose children are lost, and that mother just will not give up on God? Have you heard that? Are there some mothers here this morning like that? Okay. Now, I've heard many such testimonies of mothers that hold on to God and they just will not let go. They persevere in faith. They persevere in trusting God. They persevere in love. And you will never hear a negative confession out of their mouths. They know that they know their child will come to salvation. And they hold on to God for dear life. And nothing will get them off that road. They just say that we know that God will come through. And this child of mine will become radically saved. They keep praying and they keep confessing positively. And it goes on for year after year after year. I know such a lady in Kroonstad where I grew up. She prayed for 20 years for both her daughters. And they both got radically saved. Turned inside out, upside down. And there are many such testimonies. Let's go look at Psalm 126, verse 5 and 6. It says the following. Those who plant in tears, there we are. Those who plant in tears will harvest with shouts of joy. They weep as they go to plant their seed, but they sing as they return with a harvest. These verses seem to be contradictory. I mean, how can you be so sad when you go plant seed? You know, how can you go, why do you weep when you go plant seed? I mean, usually people that plant are happy. Have you seen planters? They laugh and they just go about it. And it's a positive action with a negative heart situation. I mean, when you are weeping, what do you want to do? Do you want to go do something, or do you want to go crawl up and crawl up in a corner and cry? So there's a bit of a contradiction in this verse, in that these people are crying, they're weeping, but yet as they are weeping, they will return with a harvest of joy. And as they sowing seed, they will sing and they will return with a harvest from the seed that they sow. When you trust God in tough times, you will taste and see victory at the end of the day. These people are trusting God in tough times. They're weeping. The seed that they're sowing is trust. The seed that they're sowing is faith talk. A lot depends on the seed that you sow while you're going through hell. Can I have an amen or an amen? Okay. If you do not sow the right seed in those tough days, you will not reap the right harvest. These guys had to persevere, these Israelites. They were banished. They were not even in Jerusalem. They were in Babylon, thinking of going back to Jerusalem. And they were sowing seed in a foreign country and they were weeping. They were thinking on those good days, and they knew. The psalmist says, but there will come a day when we will return to our own country. So you need to learn to sow the right seed in your tough time, no matter how long it takes. That's the tough one. We're going to look at other verses later on that discuss this. So the seed that you need to sow should be faith talk, not doubt talk in the tough time. Like a mommy that believes for a child's salvation. You won't hear, I've given up, from a mother's heart. They just do not give up. And that's what God is challenging us this morning with, saying, do not give up in your tough times. Sow seeds of generosity. Give out of your poverty, not only financially. I've experienced the most biggest, massive breakthroughs in revelation knowledge regarding my own personal life when people have come to me and I am empty, I am down, I'm flat, I've got nothing to give, in my opinion. And they come to me and they say, Mac, tell us, what should we do? Or pray with us. And while I'm praying for them, God gives me the answer for my situation. Boom, a light goes on. How many of you experienced that? You've got nothing to give. And out of that nothingness, you start giving. And God fills your cup to overflowing. Because you give out of your poverty. So the seed you need to sow in the tough time are seeds of generosity in every aspect. Financially, attention, love-wise, counsel, everything. Give generously. The seed you need to sow is love talk. When you're going through a tough time, it's not easy to be nice to others. You become impatient. You're irritated. You focus on the negatives. You don't focus on the positives. You get sidetracked. And this word is saying to us, sow seed while you're going in a weeping and travail time of your life. Sow seeds of love, compassion, patience, thankfulness. It's very hard to be thankful when there's little to be thankful for in your mind and my mind. Is it easy to be thankful when all hell is breaking loose around you? Give thanks in all things, the word says. Be thankful in all circumstances. Philippians 4. Always giving thanks and praise to God. Always giving thanks and praise to God. Remember, every positive Christian principle that you practice while you're going through a tough time is seed that you're sowing that will return an investment. It will return a harvest. All of that seed you're sowing is investing in your breakthrough for the future. You're busy investing for a breakthrough that God intends for your life. Keep your sowing going. Say that with me. Keep your sowing going. Sowing going. Your sowing must keep going. Do not give up in your sowing with the right attitude. your breakthrough will come. These verses also speak of perseverance. Galatians 5 verse 22, one of the words, one of the fruit of the Spirit is endurance, patience, perseverance, long-suffering. To cry when you are sowing shows that you are pressing on even though everything around you is bad and unbearable. Because that's what they're doing. They're crying, and it says it's not going well with them, but they choose to press on to sow seed even though things are unbearable around them. You have no energy to go on. All you want to do is to give up. Even though this is how you feel, you need to press on and on. You need to go against the way you feel. Every tear and seed sown in tough times will produce a good harvest after a long period. A physical and a spiritual harvest. I read a book many years ago called Secrets of the Secret Place. How many of you have read it? And the main thing I took out of that book is when you're having quiet time and there's not any goosebumps and nothing wow, don't give up. Because you're busy building, you're busy depositing in your spiritual bank account. And maybe 2 or 3 weeks later, or 3 weeks later, God pitches at your quiet time. And He turns your whole life inside out. I've experienced it time and time again. 20 years of quiet time. 20 years of spending time with God. I'm telling you, I'm hearing God's voice clearer and clearer every day. But it's investment over not this amount of time, length of time, commitment, perseverance, not giving up. Our whole society is against the Word of God. Everything that gets thrown at us is quick McDonald's meals. I mean, you want to heat up something? Do you have to go fetch wood like 100 years ago and put it in your stove? How do you heat up something? Microwave. But that's not how God's kingdom works. God's kingdom takes time and time and time. So the enemy is trying to wire us. He's trying to indoctrinate us through everything around us because we want quick fixes, quick answers. But God doesn't operate like that. How long did Noah build on the ark? How long did Joseph wait for his breakthrough? How long was David running away from Saul? Short periods of time. What do you think they had to do to survive? One word. Shout it to me. Again. They have to persevere. That's the kingdom of God. It's one of the fruit of who? In who? In us. So we have to persevere, brothers and sisters. It's an investment. Every seed you sow in the tough is an investment for your breakthrough in the future. What's great is that Psalm 126 speaks of a harvest. There will be a breakthrough. When you plant in tears, there will be a harvest. And there will not only be plain joy. What joy is there? Talk to me, people. I like you. Talk back to me. Be cheeky, please. Shouts of joy. Is that just mediocre joy? Okay, I want you to shout with joy now. Yes! Are those that are half asleep awake now? There are some folks in this precious room with precious people that are a bit older than the rest of us. And I see they're getting half visor, you know, like. Zzzzt. So are you all awake? I won't look at you just to bless you and love you. Okay. All right. Shouts of joy. There will be breakthrough, not just normal joy, but exuberant, excited joy. And they will sing as they return with a harvest. I mean, when you're collecting a harvest, but you sowed with tears, you planted the seed with tears, you come back and you shout with joy and you sing. Because God has seen your investment. God has seen your perseverance. God has seen the good seed that you've sown despite everything that contradicts it. God has seen it and He's rewarding you with the right reward. Psalm 56 verse 8 says the following. Listen, listen, children of God. You keep track of all my sorrows. You have collected all my tears in your bottle. You have recorded each one in your book. Your pain does not go unseen by God. He collects it in a bottle. Your longings, that longing, that long desire, that hunger, that saying, God, my child needs to be saved. God, my husband needs to be saved. God, I need victory in this weakness in my life. I have this weakness. I gamble, God. I cannot carry on gambling. I know it's wrong, but it's a weakness, God. Deliver me from gambling, Jesus. Deliver me from masturbation, Jesus. Deliver me, God. You need to persevere. You need to press in and press on. You need to fight it. You need to wrestle. How long did Jacob wrestle with the Son of God? You know the story? Did he let him go? Talk to me. What did he do? No. How did he wrestle? Did he let him go? What did he do with the Son of God? He wrestled and wrestled until God changed his name. And I've got news for you. You have been grafted in to that stump that's called Israel. And Israel means wrestle with God. The word Yisrael means wrestle with God. Jacob means deceiver. And we as Gentiles, how many Jews are here? Okay, we're all Gentiles. We as Gentiles have been grafted, Romans 11, have been grafted in the stump of wrestle with God. So guess what you're going to be doing the rest of your life on this planet? Wrestle with God. And enjoy it because it builds, I don't want to go ahead of my message, but it does beautiful things in your character. It does amazing things in your life. Okay, Romans 8 verse 28. No, we can actually go ahead. Slide 5. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God. All this stuff, all this perseverance will work for your good. Because deep down, you're putting your faith and trust in God. And in my opinion, faith and trust in God is seen by God as love. Because I've said, God, I know I must love you, but how can I love you? I can't see you. I can't touch you. I'm a touch person. So touch is love for me. Not sex, touch. When I want to say I love somebody or I care for them, I touch them. And I just touch automatically. So I'm saying, God, how can I experience your love? How can I love you? I appreciate you. Yes, I do. And now I've come to the place where I really start loving God. But you know, any bit of positive action from you, trust, faith, appreciation, God experiences as love. Because you're surrendering to Him. You're putting your confidence in Him. God says, faith pleases me. I reward faith. It blesses my heart when you trust me and you put your confidence. So God is saying He will let things work for your good. Causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God. Imagine you being Elijah. And your food has run out. The birds stop giving you. You can go read this in 1 Kings 16. The 16 or 17. The birds stop giving you food. And you stop getting bread and stop getting meat. And the brook is dried up. And God says, go. I've commanded a widow. You can go check me out on this. I've commanded a widow to feed you. You go to the widow and she knows nothing about the command. She says, I'm making my last meal for myself and my son. And we're going to die. And that just says, Elijah says to her, go make your last meal and see what God will do. And here is a catastrophe on its way. She feeds Elijah and God fills up her oil pots. She gets a whole lot of oil pots and she sells it. And God provides for her and for Elijah. She's not a Jew. She's the poorest of the poor. So God uses the most hopeless situation to bring the greatest glory to him. If I was God, I would have sent her to the richest person that can look after her. Who does God send her to? He sends her to the poorest of the poor, not even a covenant person, not an Israelite. So who gets the glory when the miracle happens? So the harder your situation, the tougher your situation, the more glory God wants to use you to portray when the breakthrough comes. So God sends her to this widow, sends him to this widow, and this widow cannot. And it doesn't even stop there. After that, God allows the son to die. And Elijah, shaken up, you can go read it. Elijah says, God, what have you done? He questions God. Why do you bring this upon us now? This woman's been feeding me. Come on, God. But Elijah's not seeing the big picture. Because God wants to resurrect the young man to bring glory to who? So the tougher your situation is, the greater miracle is about to happen. Not the way you think it's going to happen, but the way he desires it to happen. So you need to say the P word. Shout it. Because there's a miracle on its way. If you sow the what seed? The right seed. There's a whole lot of them. Love, faith, generosity, thankfulness. You sow the right seed, then your breakthrough will come. Romans 5, verse 3 to 4. Let's go look at that. There's a lot in this. I'm not going to be able to go through all the detail of this. It's just so much locked up. You can go and meditate on this, but let's just touch a bit on it. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they are good for us. This is NLT translation, New Living Translation. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials. So you need to what? Shout it to me, please. Cat should have been here. She would have shouted. You'd be standing right in front of you. Rejoice, eh? Hey, Katarina. So we must rejoice when we what? We run into problems and trials. Let's be honest. How many of us rejoice? Sometimes we rejoice, eh? But rejoice. Have you ever read a book called Prison to Praise? That man learned the power of praise. In the hardest, the worst, he was in prison. And he praised himself out of prison. He praised God in every circumstance, and he just had one breakthrough after the other. Rejoice, rejoice. For we know that they are good for us. Why are trials and tribulations good for you? Because it develops your endurance. It develops your character. How can a trial and tribulation develop your character? There's a problem. You learn a little breakthrough to overcome this little problem along your road of trial and tribulation. And you learn a lesson there. And that lesson will be applied with the next problem. And there you learn a new lesson. And all of these lessons are like pebbles underneath your feet, undergirding you. They're holding you up. You come to the next problem along this trial of your life, the next challenge, and you learn another breakthrough. And every one of these breakthroughs are developing your understanding of life and of God and of everything about you from God's perspective. Because every little breakthrough is new light on a new problem, a new solution, and character gets formed in you. And it burns lessons in your heart. That's why God doesn't often give us quick answers to prayer. That's why God often doesn't heal us instantly. Because he wants you to develop character along the road. How many lessons would you learn if you needed R1 million tomorrow and you get it right away? But if you had to wait 10 years for that R1 million, how many lessons would you learn in those 10 years? How much character would have grown in you? How many answers would you have discovered to help others in their trials and tribulations in those 10 years? How many? Innumerable. How would you get to know more? How much wrestling would it take in 10 years? There's another aspect of wrestling. Have you ever seen people, now I don't have the English word, and I'm actually English, but have you ever heard the word verknog? Jy het ooit iemand gesien wat so verknog is in 'n ander persoon, so nou, so ingeweef, as in wrestling. Somebody English translate that for me. Help me out. Intertwined. Can you be more intertwined with another human being outside of wrestling? Answer me. Have you seen those wrestlers? The legs by the head. I mean, the faces at the buttocks. I mean, it's like all over the show. So you up close and personal. And God wants you up close and it's not going to happen with a quick breakthrough. It's going to happen with a long fight, a long wrestle, a long burr. Is the penny falling? We have to suffer. It's good for us. Amen or ayna? We will not grow. We will not grow. Think of your child. If your child got on the bike and learned to ride the bike instantly, what would their child learn? Zip. But their child has to fall and fall and learn and know that pain is not always negative. Because unless their child struggles to learn to ride that bike, how will that child persevere for something else in their lives? How will that child learn to endure in another circumstance? How will that child learn to have patience for another human being that is not like him or her? God's opening up so many new things. Now, this is not prepared. It's just coming as the Spirit is speaking. How will we learn to have patience with one another if we don't learn to persevere? How many of you have people around you that really irritate you? Pick up your hand. All of you must pick up your hands. If you're not, you're lying. And really can. You need to learn to endure and persevere that you can have grace for your brother and your sister. That you can have grace for your partner. Because God usually matches you up with somebody 100% different to you. Are you opposites? Okay, you are. I'm with an opposite. Married to an opposite. I'm a cleanly, alles wat op sy plek wees, okay. My vrou is the artist. I think Kat and Jan is the same. I mean, so I must learn to persevere. So that I can love where God wants me to love and see people through His eyes. Grace covers over a multitude of sins. How will we learn to give grace if we don't learn to persevere? How will we learn to see others through His eyes unless we learn to persevere? It just goes on and on and on. That's why perseverance is so needed. Long-suffering is so needed. That's why sowing the right seed is so desperately needed in our lives. And money doesn't solve it all. How many can say amen to that? It doesn't. It actually just postpones the breakthrough in many circumstances. It postpones God's answer in many circumstances. 1 Peter 1:7. I'm just going to read it. I'm not going to discuss it. Otherwise, we're going to be another hour. These trials are only to test your faith to show that it is strong and pure. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. And your faith is far more precious to God than mere gold. I'll be finished shortly. The Japanese have a practice that when a vase has cracked, they fill the crack up with gold, because that crack for them portrays every time they have fallen and stood up and the lessons they've learned in how to stand up after every fall. So the cracks are the most beautiful places on this vase. Every time you've fallen, it's the most beautiful place in your life for God, because you've learned how to stand up after the fall. And that's the lesson, that's the character that God wants us to snap. That's the character that God wants us to grow and develop. So every time you go through a tough time, every time you shudder in your faith, every time your knees shake when you trust in God, and you come out of that, that's like a golden crack in your life in God's eyes. And you should see it the same way. You must appreciate it in the same way. 1 James 1, verse 2 and 4 says the following. It says, "Dear brothers and sisters, whenever trouble comes your way, let it be an opportunity for joy. For when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be strong in character and ready for. So don't short circuit your character. Don't short circuit your endurance. Don't look for the quick answer. Don't look for a quick way out. Go in for the long haul. Go in for the long 9 yards. Now we're going to discuss 4 how-tos, and then we're going to be finished. How? Just practical stuff. 4 ways. How do I go on sowing in tough times? How do I help my perseverance? How do I strengthen my feeble knees? How do I do that? First one is, do not withdraw. When you're going through a tough time and you have to stand and stand and stand and stand again, do not withdraw. Become part of the fellowship. Be part of the heart of the body of Christ. And surround yourself with believers of the impossible. Surround yourselves with brothers and sisters that believe God is a God of the impossible. And avoid doubting Thomases. We have a Thomas in this church. He's not doubting. I just made sure this morning. Where are you, Thomas? There you are. He's not a doubting one. But avoid doubting Thomases. They vomit doubt all over the show. Love them, but avoid them. So surround yourself with people that believe in the impossible. Second one is, feed yourself. Feed yourself spiritually. Go to every church service, Bible school. Do your own personal Bible study. Have a spiritual book. If you're a bad reader, even though it takes you a year or two, work through that book. Teach yourself endurance in reading the word. Feed yourself. Build yourself up in your most holy faith. So the first one is, do not withdraw. The second one is, feed yourself. The third one is, strengthen yourself when you're having to persevere. How do you strengthen yourself? Teach yourself to have a song in your mouth and in your heart all the time. When a song comes up, just sing it. Even though you sing false, it doesn't matter. That song will build up your faith, will build up your character. It will strengthen you. It will encourage you. So sing songs in tough times. Put praise and worship music on all the time. And never neglect your quiet time. Have quiet time all the time. Speak to God. Practice the presence of Jesus. There was a Catholic monk that had to cook 24 hours a day, literally. And he wanted just to pray and be with God. And God taught him to practice the presence of God while he's working. Being conscious of God. Worship of God is being conscious of God. So start living a life of consciousness of God 24 hours. Okay, not when you're sleeping, but when you're awake. Even when you're sleeping, why not? Ask God for that. Be conscious of the Father all the time. In your work, in everything, consult Him regarding every challenge that comes. Consult Him regarding every decision that you have to make. If you don't know what to decide between A and B, say, Father, before you go think in your use your intellect. I'm not saying put it out. But before you consult your intellect and people that are analysts and whatever, go to God and say, God, what do you say? Speak to me. God spoke to Samuel, and Samuel didn't know it was God. So he went to Eli and said, Eli, what do I do? And Eli said, just say to God, when he speaks again, I'm here, I'm your servant. What would you like me to do, God? Here I am. I'm listening to you. Say, Lord, I'm waiting. I'm listening to you. I'm attentive, and I have an expectation to hear an answer. You will not get an answer unless you have what? An expectation. Because expectation is faith. So don't pray for an answer and then forget about it. I did that for many years. Pray and then expect an answer. And God will give you, reward your faith. He will give you that answer that you're longing for. So strengthen yourself. Walk and talk in this beautiful nature around you. To strengthen your perseverance, just be with God as much as possible. Be conscious of God as much as possible, because that will strengthen your perseverance. The last one, there are probably many others, but these are right now for me the most important, is be attentive. Be attentive to the Lord's working in your life. You know that God is working behind the scenes in many, many ways that seem small but are actually massive miracles without us even realizing. And I have a fresh one for you. It happened in my life last week. We had to get all the cell groups in Shofar Stellenbosch to be part of the Love the Campus outreach last week Thursday. I love the campus as they meet on the Metanoia Grass. Do you know where that is? I'm new to Stellenbosch. How many of you studied? There's like a Metanoia patch of grass where students meet. Anybody know about that? Okay. In any case, it's a Metanoia place, and they all meet there, and then they would there was like a day where they just hug everybody. They say, come get a hug. You know, anybody that wants a hug, that needs some encouragement. So the men would hug the men, obviously, and the women would hug the women. That could also be dangerous. But in any case, so they hugged. So they hugged them. I never voiced that one. I just shut up. It's getting complicated these days. So that have a day of hugs, and then the last day, which we wanted to be part of because they wanted older folks, not only the students, to be part of the outreach. The last day would be that do praise and worship, that have a short service, and then they needed counselors and people to pray for the people that have responded to the message. So we wanted to get all our cell groups involved. So I wrote an email, and I sent it the morning, and it had to be the morning, Wednesday morning, because Wednesday night, they needed to read it to their cells. So we need to, and remember, I'm a picky precisa maniki. I want things in a line. I've relaxed a lot, but I mean, so if God doesn't do it my way, I often get ruffled. How many of you get ruffled when things don't work out? Okay. But there was a reason for it. So the email, supposedly, it showed, it went through. 7 o'clock that night, I'm attending a cell, and I pick up my cell phone, and I see none of them have gone through. So what now? I'm upset. Why did the email not go through? It said it went through. It didn't go through. How many would have been ruffled? I mean, there's a job to be done. People to be mobilized. Come on, man. What's going on? I mean, come on. And it didn't go through. So I read up further on. I don't know. It's the Wednesday. The outreach is on Thursday. Thursday morning, I open the emails. The guy in charge of the outreach sends out an email. They haven't gotten permission yet for the noise, something with a noise barrier. They need to get noise permission to make a noise on the grass field. They haven't got that permission yet. The outreach is off for the Thursday night. Do you think God was trying to tell me something? You think God was trying to help me somehow? I think so. So when you're having to persevere, you must take note of what God is doing in your life. You must ask God discernment, and you must be attentive. Jylle moet op aandag staan. You must be attentive to recognize where Father is working behind the scenes on whose behalf? On your behalf. Because that will strengthen your what? Perseverance. Four things for perseverance to hold out, to strengthen it. Do not withdraw. Feed yourself. Strengthen yourself. And be attentive to what God is doing all the time. Close your eyes, please. Father, I'd like you all to close your eyes, please. Only my eyes may be open, please. Father, you alone can receive glory for the fruit in our lives. Holy Spirit, I just want to ask you to help us in this thing that we so desperately need. Lord, most of us struggle with perseverance. Most of us struggle with endurance, with long suffering, and it gets so tough sometimes. Daddy, you know. You know, Dad. It's rough. There's some of you here tonight that say, but you know, Mac, I've messed up some things in my life because I would not wait. And I want you to pray with me today that I will learn to wait for God's timing, that I will learn to sow the right seeds, that I will learn to persevere because I've made mistakes and I don't want to make those mistakes again, Mac. God, I don't want to make those mistakes again. I want to know how to persevere. I want to pass the next time. If you'd like to pray with me, and you need us to pray with you, I'd like you to stand up right now. Be bold and stand. Keep your eyes closed, please. God, I've made wrong decisions because I've not persevered. I've been too hasty. I'm sorry, my Jesus. I'd like you to pray after me. Keep your eyes closed, please. Lord Jesus, I come to you this morning just as I am. Father, I'm sorry for thwarting your will. Lord, for undermining your perfect will because of my impatience. Forgive me, Jesus. I'm sorry for undermining your plan, your breakthrough in my life. Jesus, I'm going to ask you this morning and even give you permission to force me to be patient. Lord, to make it impossible for me to miss your goal, your plan regarding any breakthrough in this life that I want to live for you. In this breath that I want to breathe for you. Jesus, help me to endure, to be patient, to hold steadfast, not to give up, to sow the right seeds. Holy Spirit, more of you and less of me. More of you, less of me. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Lord, I give you every heavy burden, every difficult yoke. I break in Jesus' name. I cast off every heavy burden of guilt because of mistakes done in the past. Thank you, Jesus, for your forgiveness. And Lord, you wash away the past. And today I start afresh, a life of perseverance for your glory, for your namesake, in Jesus' name. Amen. I just want to say, if any of you need prayer for anything else that we've not covered in the service, and even if we've covered it, I will be standing in front, and I'm sure there are other leaders here that will pray with us. So I will be here after the service for anybody that needs prayer for something specific. Sometimes in my life, I've gone through long periods where nobody's prayed for me personally. And you know how fantastic it is when somebody prays for you and it's with genuine love. It's like ice cold water in a hot day. It's so refreshing. It's so building up. We need to constantly say, God, use us to lay hands and pray for our brethren, to encourage each other through prayer and edification. So the power of prayer can never be undergauged or undermined. It is just phenomenal to see how God uses the faith of a brother to stir the faith of another brother or sister, and vice versa, a sister for a brother. Father, I just want to bless everybody that's given. Daddy, with a rich harvest. As you alone can give us a harvest, so we receive your harvest, Dad. I bless them, Jesus, to see your wow this coming week. To taste and see that God is good. And Lord, that each one of us would appreciate that. Not take it for granted. That we would really give you what you deserve. That would give you the consciousness, the praise, the worship, the attention that you deserve, Most High God. All honor, all glory, all praise belongs to you. We thank you in Jesus' name that you'd multiply the seed for your name's sake. Amen.